to WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Game day edition. We're the link in the Pepsi Plaza. We'll be here until 6, and then the pregame show with Ike and Hugh and Joe G and Ruben Frank and Elliot and who else? Who am I thinking about? Howard.
And special guest Vinnie Curry.
Special guest Vinnie Curry. Spud still stopped by as well?
Spud stopped by, yes.
Yes. But joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 3, the Ringers, Shiel Kapadia. Shiel sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Shiel, how we feeling?
Feeling great. I mean, a monster game with some juice, primetime division matchup. Like I was thinking before the season, you know, no one would have circled this game as one of the biggest ones of the year, but you get it now with 2 7-win teams, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I don't want to see the other NFC East teams be good, but it is kind of cool to have the Commanders good again and to have a rivalry again within the division that isn't the Dallas one. You know what I mean? Like, the Giants have been gone for several years. The Commanders have been gone. So I like having juice for a Commanders game.
Yeah, no doubt. For years, they've been able to beat up on the Commanders, beat up on the Giants. Really, the last decade, for most of those years, the Eagles have won those games. But now it's a little bit different. The Cowboys you can beat up on because they stink right now. But, yeah, the team is different in Washington with a dynamic quarterback. So it's going to be fun.
So, Shiel, speaking of that quarterback, we asked earlier, and it was a Twitter question today, next 5 years, you could have one quarterback for the next 5 years. Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts? Who do you take?
I'm still going. I am a big Jaden Daniels fan. I have been very impressed with what I've seen from him this season, and I do have to think about it for a second. But I would go with Jalen Hurts just because.
Come on.
There you go.
Wow. Why?
Come on,
Shiel. Explain himself.
It's body of work. I mean, the guy's done it.
What, body it, this. What? Can you squat 600 pounds?
You know, his actual body is a factor too because he is slender, and I do wonder about Jaden Daniels withstanding the hits of an entire season. So yeah, can I see the guy do it for an entire season before before making that distinction? I will give you this: if you ask me, who do I think has performed better this season? I actually think Jaden Daniels has been the better quarterback through the first 10 weeks of the season.
Well, so let's start with the offense. So you know, out of the bye, the Eagles shift to this super run-heavy offense, and it has been successful. In your sort of watching them, studying film, looking at numbers, how – I know this sounds like a simple question, but how good do you think the Eagles' offense is at the moment?
Yeah, I wouldn't say elite. It's not like a top-five offense in the NFL. Even you can look at last week where they come out and the first five possessions aren't very good, and then they get going – and it looks really good. So there's been some variance to it. You don't know which version of it's going to show up on any given week. So when you run the football this much, you know, your margin for error is a little slimmer than the teams that are able to just throw it all around the field, and they can make up for turnovers easily. So you have to be a little bit more methodical when you run the football this way. But it has worked so far, and it's been efficient, and they're running the football pretty much as well as any team in the NFL right now. So I wouldn't put them in that top tier of offenses, probably in the next one where they're definitely above average but not elite.
Yeah, I mean, you watched them against Pittsburgh last week. Pittsburgh's a pretty good defense. So, they moved the ball on the Steelers last week. And so I'm wondering, when you look at Jaden Daniels, his mobility, how much of that injury you think is still sitting there with him right now?
Yeah, he got the rib injury, and I'm not sure if the mobility is what's been impacted the most. I think the Steelers had a good plan for him last week. You're right, he's been just statistically the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL this season. What I actually noticed last week was that he missed throws that he wasn't missing earlier in the season. Like, they had some opportunities in the fourth quarter where he missed guys that were open, where typically he's been really accurate this season. So when I look at that rib injury that he sustained a few weeks ago, I wonder if that's impacted just kind of the throwing motion, the accuracy a little bit. That's something to keep an eye on in this game, really. If you get a big hit on him early on, or even if you don't, you know, what does he look kind of throwing in the intermediate part of the field? Is he hitting those throws, or is he missing some of those throws?
Shiel, the Eagles' defense has been awesome. I don't think any of us would have expected they've been good as they are. Do you think they can continue to be this good with the sort of, I would say, average to below average push that the defensive line has gotten on their own?
It's really maybe the biggest question when I'm looking at what's this team's ceiling. It might be that pass rush. You know, it just has not been as good as we've seen in previous seasons. At the same time, I really believe in this defense. I mean, you watch it week in and week out. The way they're covering on the back end, I mean, I don't remember an Eagles team that was doing it this well with Quinyon Mitchell, with Cooper DeJean, with the way they're communicating. They're not getting fooled by what offenses are trying to do to them. So I don't know, you know, to answer your question, I think they can play well. You know, can they be like a top three or four unit in the NFL? If the pass rush gets going and all of a sudden Jalen Carter is dominating these games and, you know, you're getting more from that edge group, I think they have that opportunity, but I still definitely need to see it a little bit more with the pass rush.
How many teams in the NFC do you think are better than the Eagles?
I mean, the one that comes to mind right away is Detroit. I think the Lions, you know, have a better resume. I really put them in there with the rest of them. That next year, I would put them. I would put the 49ers. I still like the Packers quite a bit, and the Eagles beat the Packers earlier this season. So I think they're right there in that next tier down. And even, you know, if they went to Detroit in the playoffs, it's not like I think they would have no chance there. So they're in a really good spot. You know, we after those first 5 weeks of the season, I don't think anyone thought, I know I didn't think that they were going to be in this spot where they have a five-game winning streak. They're going into this stretch of the season against some better offenses. But, man, at 7-2, and you look at their remaining schedule, yeah, they've got some tough teams coming up, but they've also got the Panthers on their schedule. They've got the Giants on their schedule. They've got a Cowboys team that's going to be starting Cooper Rush. So they're in a really nice spot, but that's what makes this game so important, is because you don't want to be, you know, you might win 11 games, 12 games, whatever it is, but if you're second in the division and now you've got to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs, that's obviously not what you want. So that's why the stakes are pretty high for this one.
I'm not going out on a limb here, Shiel. I think the Eagles are right there with the Lions. Okay. I really do. I think the Eagles' defense is better than the Lions. I think it will boil down to who has home field advantage. If we get the Lions here, I certainly love our chances of beating the Lions. As a matter of fact, I would predict that we would beat the Lions if we get them here. It certainly would be difficult to go there and beat them in that dome where they're comfortable at. But I like the Lions. I really do. I'm starting to like what I see from the Eagles. And a win tonight, to me, would go a long way. Because I look at the rest of the schedule, and I'm thinking maybe the Ravens on the road in Baltimore gets the Eagles. I like our chances against everybody else. I like our chances against everybody else on the schedule.
Yeah, I think you're right that if they were to face Detroit in the playoffs, whoever was at home would probably be the favorite in that game. And the one thing I do like about the Eagles is they can win in different ways right now. They can win with explosive plays in the passing game. They can win just running the ball over and over again. And they can win games with their defense, which is just, it's felt like a while since we've been able to say that, where their defense can really control some of these games. I'm really interested. These next three games are kind of a measuring stick for how good this defense specifically is going to be. But again, you know, if you're asking me what aspect of the team I believe in the most, that might be it. And I thought there was no way I was saying that coming into the season.
All right, Shiel. After we get your prediction, I have one other comment for you about a non-football issue. But first, we need your prediction for tonight. Official prediction.
Okay, official prediction. I actually think it's going to be a little more low-scoring than some others might think, and part of that is because I do believe in this Eagles defense, and I think offensively they're going to be able to run the ball. I think it's going to be a competitive game, but I think the Eagles win this one. I think they have too many ways to score with their wide receivers against those Washington cornerbacks and then their run game. So I've got Eagles 24, Commanders 20, just covering that 3.5-point spread.
All right, Shiel. Final thing here, and I don't remember exactly what was written, but I remember the gist. You asked on Twitter about the idea of bringing a hoagie with raw onions onto an airplane, whether that's okay or not. Let me express to you, that is one of the most not okay things in history. When I was assistant program director at WYSP, I was so against raw onions. Now, I like eating them. They're fine. But I was so against raw onions, I said people couldn't eat sandwiches with raw onions in the office, much less an airplane. Who in their right mind would think it's okay to bring us? And you got to be careful with any food on a plane.
Right.
But raw onions, that is completely unacceptable. You don't think that's acceptable, do you?
Well, Spike, we're on the same side here. Thank you for being a sensible human being who respects others in your community. But we had a podcast listener who wrote in and said he does this. So I put the poll out there, over 4,000 votes, 40% of the people said it's okay. How is that okay to bring onions on a plane? You can't be doing that. Come on, people. We're living in a society here.
I would put the scoop over here.
Yeah. Sheil, you know why Jack thinks it's okay is because he drops bombs in airplane bathrooms. He doesn't care about other people dealing with smells.
I care about me.
No one. Just eat a sandwich without onions. It's not that hard. No broccoli.
No broccoli.
No salmon.
No fish. Yeah.
Like have some respect.
You're an annoying rules guy, though.
Well,
you got rules for everything.
Guy. Yeah. All right, Sheil. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
There he is, Sheil Kapadia. I saw that question, and I said, who in their right mind would think that's even people who do that have to know that it's not okay.
But I will get on there with a burger and fries, though.
That's fine. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, especially if they're charging you whatever they charge you for the crappy meals on the plane.
Exactly.
You want to bring in a burger and fries, that's fine. Yeah. No sandwiches with raw onions. Well, it's so disrespectful. All right. 215-592-9494. Tasty Cake. Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike. Hey, IK Jack.
What up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Dom.
I'm pumped for tonight. I'm grateful that this Eagles team has played them in the position to have this fantastically big game tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. Sheil mentioned it. I don't know that any of us saw this game on the schedule as the first monster game, you know? Yeah. But the way that the Eagles have come together and the surprise that the Commanders have been, like, there's so many cool storylines. The NFC East storyline, the quarterback storyline, the fact that the owner, I know this is probably.
Bring that up.
Yeah, the fact that the owner of the Commanders also owns the Sixers.
Who would you rather have as an owner for the next 5 years?
Who, Jeff Lurie or Josh Harris? Jeff Lurie.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, all right.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Yeah, what do you think's going to happen tonight, Tasty? Okay, you
I think the
confident?
Eagles are going to roll.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are going to roll, and I think they're going to get that quarterback three times tonight.
Defense, three sacks.
Interceptions
three
or sacks?
Or three, three picks.
Three sacks.
Okay.
Let's not get out of hand,
Three sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, Carter gets twice, and Sweat's going to get one.
If they sack him three times, this is going to be a good game tonight.
Wow.
We would have to screw this up.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
And Spike, you asked earlier in the week. So I'm a Nick Sirianni guy.
Yes, sir.
And I like him very much.
Yep.
The Saints game, I was very aggravated. Watching the game was not pleasurable to me because of the play call. And same with the Jaguars game. But I think to myself that today, Spike, I'm doing rehab, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's going 46 games in 4 years. He's already been on one Super Bowl run, and they get past Detroit this year. He's going to go to two Super Bowls in 4 years. What is there to complain about?
Well,
there are things.
People will still complain, Tasty Cake.
I don't
get it, but they will.
You know, Tasty Cake, here's what I would say, is that there are plenty of things to complain about. You can certainly complain about any player, any coach, and Nick Sirianni is not perfect. However, to your point, when you look at the total body of work, I think unfortunately Sirianni gets too defined by the bad things and not defined enough by the good things. You know, that's the decisions that you're talking about, that's all anybody talks about, and they don't talk about the other things. And I think that part is unfair because he's done more good than he's done bad.
It's like the McManus story. Why is that not a bigger story?
Right. That the coach just took the advice of the offensive lineman, changed the offense, and then all of a sudden they're successful.
Well, he should have known it first.
He's a hater. See, Dom,
Spike,
Jack's a hater.
Breaking news. Yeah. Running the ball works with Saquon.
Okay. All right.
Can I say one more thing to you, Spike?
Yes.
I really hope that the young fella from Nebraska gets to be aligned with your show.
Oh, Louis?
He sure is putting the effort in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Him and Andrew.
Andrew from Jamison, too.
Yeah. Talk radio blows me away now with all of this allegiance and this guy's this. And,
way.
You know, when I was running my route, I was very much a caller of Anthony and Glenn, but Ike Wright, I was a big caller of Ike at night, too. Yeah. I loved Ike at night, so it wasn't like you had to be... I don't think, like, back in the day, right, you didn't really have to be aligned with one show?
No, we're more territorial now.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, Tasty Cake, it's a new age. I mean, I came in under that, so I sort of just followed it. I like this. This is our team. We're the best show at the station, and we don't mind letting everybody else know that.
Yeah, that's sort of our thing. It's us versus the world. That's what we like doing.
Yeah, I listen to you guys every day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, there's
it. That's right.
But I have to ask you, Spike.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rob Ellis guy. That okay?
I've been
friends with Rob Ellis for 15 years.
Love Robbie.
Oh, listen, here's the thing, Tasty Kate. You listen to any show you want to, and I know you've been a Robbie E fan, as we all are. But the fact of the matter is, you have officially aligned yourself with us as a afternoon show caller.
Yeah, we just like
I absolutely, without question, say that you guys are the must.
Listen.
As something else I want to tell you guys, I know I've been wrong. I got my weights right now. You know, I have certain Spike. You've been through this. They give me certain exercises.
For your rehab.
And your first hour, you know, they want me to do 30 reps of this, 30 reps of that. And I'm doing it and listening to the show, and you guys help me pass the time with that.
Love it.
We love
Now, real quick, Tasty Cake, Dom.
Yeah.
Because I know that you and Spike have a handshake agreement, no Sixers until 45 games.
Yeah.
But come on. We got to talk about Jerry McCain.
You have to be happy about McCain, right?
Am I allowed to?
Yes.
I love Jared McCain. I do. The temptation for I was going to ask you, Ike, for advice because Spike, the last time I called, Spike gave me that gimme, that layup, and I didn't bite and I didn't talk about it. But, Ike, if he gives me a gimme again, like he did the last time I called, when he was talking about, you brought up basketball, Spike, and you said the analogy, and you brought up the Golden State Boston game, right?
Yes.
Which gave me a clear path to the basket there. Because I would have to respond with, you watch that game, Spike, and you see Buddy Hield hitting threes from the top of the Green Monster and couldn't get on the floor in Philadelphia because the genius didn't know how to use them.
Here's the thing, though, Dom. If you go back and you watch those games, Buddy Hield passed up open three after open three after open three. And he did. I don't know what to say about Buddy Hield. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He played great for the first week and a half he was here, and then he passed up open shots. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen anything like it.
And if you're watching him now, I mean they don't miss Clay a little tiny bit. They don't miss Clay because of Buddy Hield.
Well, yeah, they don't miss Clay because Clay was kind of cooked. But also, Buddy Hield's playing great out there. I don't know why he didn't shoot when he was here.
Well, Nick Nurse told him not to.
Yeah, Nick Nurse told him not to. Would you, last thing, Tasty Cake, if I told you could trade Maxey and four first-round picks for Giannis, would you do it?
Boy, I would. I really would because
that McCain, would be,
how the heck, I mean. Yeah.
The Mavericks, some are calling them.
I think that they could absolutely play together.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I like your analogy that he's Ben without the garbage.
Yes, if Ben was good. Yeah. He's Ben. If Ben was good, all right, Tasty Cake.
All right, Rob. Love you guys.
Appreciate you.
Yep,
there he is. Tasty.
There's
Cake
no way they could play together.
I disagree with you.
No, we'll never find out. So
you never know.
Yeah, believe me.
Can I tell you one person
we'll never find out?
Can I tell you one person who I think would make that trade? Is the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm sure that's probably where it came from.
It did not.
How would you know he would do it then?
It came.
Maxey's overrated.
I just want to be clear so no one thinks.
You brought him up. I didn't bring him up. You brought him up.
No. I'm just saying I believe the Sixers would do it. Okay. I have never, ever, ever spoken to him about that. It was actually Mike O'Connor, who works for the Ricky. He texted me, would you do this? That's where it came
McCain's
from.
Better.
He might be. I mean, I don't know. He might be. He's a better passer, that's for sure.
Giannis be.
Yeah. I mean, so after three games, McCain is better than Maxey?
No.
It's been after three games where we're all of a sudden we're getting rid of Maxey now.
I just think you can find a close enough approximation to what we need from the lead guard spot from McCain if you're adding Giannis. By the way, the other thing that you're adding Giannis is another guy who, I mean, he brings the ball up a lot. I mean, he is the center of the offense a
There's
lot. So I don't
no
know.
Way Giannis and Embiid can play together.
I disagree.
I don't see how.
I disagree.
Without turning one of them into a jump shooter.
Well, Embiid is a good shooter, and a lot of what he does is shooting.
Nah, he needs to get his ass in the post.
No. All right. Okay. Well, unfortunately for everyone, specifically me, we're going to have the game day forecast next from Tornado.
We need it. Overcast down here.
It's not.
What's going on tonight?
I already looked at the weather.
It actually looks like a tornado was coming.
It's not going to rain, and this frigging guy is going to say it might rain. So anyway, so we are at the link for Thursday Night Football, Eagles, Commanders. We are here at the Pepsi Plaza. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. This is my big game voice. It's a big game show. We're the link in the Pepsi Plaza. Be here until 6, until the Eagles pregame show. Remember, you can listen to the game on your radio, on the Odyssey app as well. And we are your official home for the Philadelphia Eagles. Unfortunately, we are also your official home for the game day forecast from one Tornado Shapiro. Hello, sir.
People are demanding their game day forecast, and the name, you are correct. Tornado Shapiro, music please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Washington, D.C., coming to Philly. You know, I spent a little time down in D.C. at WWWKO Commando. Yeah, we called them the Commanders long before Josh Harris bought the team because that's the way all the weather gals dressed like that. You know, it was a freewheeling TV station back then. Anchor gal by the name of Missy, as in Missy Underwear. Hello! You know, they called them the Hogs for a lot of years.
The offensive linemen,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
we're aware.
Not the weathermen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hogs were led by offensive guard Russ Grimm and his four sisters, the Grimm sisters. That might be them calling right now. Yeah, I'll tell you. We had the...
Get locked in, Tornado.
It's game day.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Take an edible?
It's the four Grimm sisters on the double line here. Can you imagine growing up in that hog house? I met the Hogs once in an after-hours club in Sharon Hill, PA, Delco proper.
Oh, yeah?
Sharon Hill. You know, Sharon had a big sister, too. And I mean big. Busty Hill. Big chick. She had the girl about 6'4", 320, all muscle, and all the right places, too. Come on. Nose tackle over there at Cabrini College, they used to send her out there for the coin toss. Heads or tails, she'd take care of it. Back then, we had our own body bag game led by Betty the Body Ventura over at Channel 16. Now, that was the minor league affiliate to Channel 17. Call it the practice squad. Instructional league. Going commando was the first instruction from Coach Zero Mostel and his cousin Zero Underpants. Speaking of commandos, it's tonight is the return of Zach Hurts. There's a cream for that. And her name is Annie Fungal.
Okay.
I think Annie ran with Ike Reese and B. Mitch and myself for a time in the early 80s.
More about Ike's exploits. Do you have the forecast for tonight?
Oh, man.
Finally, some fall weather. It's going to be a little nipply out there tonight, as we used to say at the old Oakford Inn. 46 degrees at kickoff. 8-mile-an-hour winds out of the south. Light but fragrant.
What does that even mean?
5% chance of precip at kickoff. That actually goes down to 2% in the fourth quarter, but you never know. You don't want to be cold and wet out there. Wet is fine all by itself, but cold and wet is no good.
It's not going to rain.
I'm the expert. Don't take a chance. Tonight, a 50-50 shot of rain, son. Bring a slicker along with your thermal underwear, and God help the commandos.
All right. Are you done?
Outro music.
There's
music.
No outro music. He shouldn't even have intro music.
Oh, my God.
How does he go from a 2% chance to a 50-50% chance of rain? Ike, I didn't know that you ran with Annie Fungal.
Man, yeah, I have no idea who Annie Fungal.
Fungal.
Fungal? Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was called up a couple times there.
Yes, yeah. 215-592-9494. John in Mullica Hill, you're on WIP. What's up, John?
Go Birds, Foxhole Guy number one, and Paul Six alumni. How am I supposed to follow Conklin? That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. He's tough to follow.
I know, he's bad. Well, listen, I agree with Jackie Baseball. I think that the Eagles win by running the ball.
Yes.
You got a 28th in the league run defense again in Washington. You know, run the ball. Give it to Saquon all night. 120, two touches. I think that's how the Eagles win. Plus,
yep,
the defense, if the defense is all over the place, which, you know, you got to give Zach Bond a credit for the season he's been having. He's been,
yep,
a beast.
He's about to get a new contract.
You know, yeah, well, if that happens.
According to Chris,
he reminds me of
Middletown. Yeah.
He reminds me of Charles Jefferson from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Bond, destroyed by Bond, nailed by Bond. He's all over the place. It's awesome. Fantastic.
Good. Everything's good. Anything worry about you tonight? Anything worry about tonight at all?
As long as we can get Jake his field goals and not go for those two-pointers, that's,
yep,
it. That's
as
it.
Long as Nick stays out of the game.
All right. So if there's a penalty on an extra point and it's on the one-yard line, you don't want to go for two?
Nope.
Everyone, thank you for the call, John.
Yeah, nope.
Everyone here would rather have one point than two.
Well, unless we're losing. That's different. When you're losing, I can understand going for two, trying to be aggressive.
If he does that, if he goes for one rather than two in those situations, and we lose by 2 points at some point because we took one rather than two, I am going to talk about all the points they left out on the field. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reverse it back on everybody else, all the points they left out on the field. This is a good offense with Washington. You need every point you can get. So if we do get a penalty and we get the ball on the one-yard line, we should go for two. If we have a fourth and four on the Washington 27 or something, we should not kick the field goal.
Yeah, you should.
No,
yeah,
we should not. We need every point we can get.
Take the point.
Yeah, that's why you take the three.
Instead of taking seven.
Well, you don't know if you're going to get seven.
Well, I would rather take my chances with seven.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. 215. Actually, we have the father of an afternoon show caller, and it's not Big A.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll get to
him. That's the only father that I know.
No, there's another one. Look, they're coming out of the woodwork. We'll get to him. Now, after we have Tornado on, I start talking like Tornado.
I know, you really
do. Hey, they're coming out of the woodwork. I used to run with a girl named Woody.
I'm glad you said girl.
Yes. Look. Sometimes you want a brand new Hyundai, and you're worried, though, because you're worried that your credit's not that great or the car that you're driving now you owe too much on. But that's why Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown is the place you got to go, because this holiday season, they have a seat for everyone at the table, making sure everybody eats. John Ashdale, the car czar, has mandated it, so they're going to take care of you. And they have enough cars to do it. They have over 200 brand new 2024s on the lot. They have Santa Fe's. If you want a little SUV action, Tucson's SUV. You want the Ioniq. Maybe you want those one of those EVs. You can buy with 0% financing for 60 months. And that car that we're talking about that you're trading in, maybe you're worried that it's a piece of crap and you're not going to get anything for your trade. Well, Colonial gives more for your trade than anyone else for that piece of crap. You got $6,500 guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. And your brand new Hyundai is going to have Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Don't miss out on the best meal of the year at Colonial Hyundai. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Lou in Sewell is Louie from Nebraska's dad, and he is on WIP. What's up, Lou?
Spike, Fritz, what's happening?
Big Lou. What's up, brother?
Yeah, do you do a big Lou and little Lou in your household? How do you separate the Lous?
Well, we have another name, but I just happened to call in before as Lou, and that's how I stuck with Lou. But I have another name. But
no, it's okay. Yeah. We got you.
Probably not radio appropriate.
That's you can be Lou.
Story. Yeah.
But you have to understand what it was like to raise this guy. So he is a very good golfer, by the way. As a dad, I can say objectively he's a very good golfer.
Well, who's and better, him or you? Who's the better golfer?
Oh, he's definitely better than me. Right. He's shot probably 65, maybe 10 times.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that is sickening.
Yeah.
That is so good at golf.
Actually, I'm gonna kind of give him a reveal. He'll probably be mad at me, but in 2022, he won the New Jersey Open.
Wow.
So you'll be able to find out who he really is.
Oh, anyway, okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like him better as a mystery, honestly.
I know. I blew it. I'm sorry.
Lou,
that's what dads do.
Well, Lou, let me ask you this. Is Louie from Nebraska really Tiger Woods? Just calling in under a pseudonym? Is it?
Well, he certainly is not Earl.
Yes. That's for yeah. It does not sound like Earl Woods.
No, but I'm a big Birds fan. I'm 34-16.
Oh, so you see a blowout.
Yeah, but I have confidence in the defense. That's the key.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think they're going to take a lot. They're going to take a lot of points. They're going to have to go for the field goals. I think one of the keys, we already said, run the ball. Saquon running the ball. And what's going to happen, we're going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups. And I'd like to see Jalen get the ball out of his hands much faster than he has in past games.
Well, your lips to God's ears. I think we would all like to see that. It was interesting to watch the Dallas game with the way that he was in the first half compared to, and then all of a sudden it was that two-minute drill. I think sometimes for quarterbacks, it almost seems like the two-minute drill gets them into a rhythm. I think that's why teams go no huddle sometimes, because it gets the quarterback into a rhythm, which is what I think happened in that final drive of the first half.
So, Spike, if you look at the fact that if we're running play action, why and you have linebackers that have to press because of Saquon, why aren't we running more slants? We don't run slants, and I don't see a lot of seam routes, especially when you have one-on-one coverage.
Well,
so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know this will brand me as a hater, but Jalen tends to not throw those all that much. Even when guys are open in the middle, that's where he tends to miss guys, is when they're over the middle. I don't know why. Hopefully that's something he's been a little bit better with it as the season has gone on. But I agree with you with those that and he's been good when they've done the play action and he throws the ball right away. It mm-hmm. almost seems like he's more accurate when he throws the ball right away because he doesn't have time to think. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Jalen wants the bigger play. I don't know if he's just not quick enough on those reads, whatever it is. But I agree with you.
But we also have receivers that can run away from guys
yep.
on one-on-one coverage.
We do. I mean, we've got two great receivers.
I think that's one of the keys to the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Lou.
I appreciate it. I'm not trying to be one of your main callers.
Oh, you are
why
now.
Why not?
Yeah, you are now.
Welcome aboard, pal.
Yeah.
All righty.
Whether you like it or not.
I got more stuff to reveal about Lou from Nebraska, but I'll hold on to it.
Good. One call at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. Keep those nuggets. All right, Lou.
And private courses only.
Yeah. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping now at marks-jewelers.com. This has actually gotten a little closer. Which QB would you rather have for the next 5 years, Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels? We're to 60-40. Mm. 60-40 to Hurts. I was a little surprised that Shiel took Jalen, given how positive Shiel has been on Jaden Daniels so far.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to sound as if I don't believe the young man has had a phenomenal season thus far. But I think sometimes we get enamored with the shiny new toy.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, because, you know, C.J. Stroud was an elite quarterback after 1 year and winning 10 games last year. Like, that's where everybody wanted to rush to put him at in the second year. And then it becomes, well, he didn't have this receiver, that receiver. Okay, so he's like most quarterbacks, that he needs talent around him in order to flourish. He's not like a Patrick Mahomes there. It doesn't matter who you have at wide receiver. He's pretty much going to flourish. And so with Jaden Daniels, I think it's going to be interesting to see how does he play from behind.
Sure.
Right? Like it's easy when you're ahead a lot and, you know, you can run the ball and you could sort of – you're dictating the offense and you're standing ahead of the sticks. And because he doesn't throw a ton. He throws for like 210 yards a game, right? And when I see only two interceptions, okay, well, how many passing attempts is he throwing per game, right, to keep the ball out of harm's way? So I only say this to say is that he looks good right now until the league gets a book on him and figure out what he doesn't do well and forces him into those situations, much like we saw happen with Jalen. Doesn't mean Washington doesn't have a franchise quarterback or you can't win with him. I'm just saying at least Jalen has done it already. Like, right. He's done it. He's proven he could do it already.
215-592-9494. I'm curious what listening, Jalen or Jaden Daniels for the next 5 years.
And much like Jaden Daniels in college, when he switched to a program that had a ton of talent around him, he flourished.
Right.
He flourished.
And they're doing the same sort of – they're a very run-heavy team, just like the Eagles have been.
Yeah.
You know, I brought up at the beginning of the show, we didn't really talk about it very much, is defensive line and getting push and how they'll handle Jaden Daniels. So, one thing I noticed – and it was a blowout, and Cooper Rush stunk, so we didn't talk about it very much. Mm-hmm. But I noticed a lot that the Eagles were bringing – more guys that they were not getting to the quarterback with that front four.
Yeah.
They were blitzing a lot, which you can do against a quarterback like Cooper Rush that is as – I mean, he was really, really bad, mm-hmm. and you get him nervous. Jaden Daniels does not look nervous a lot and can run the ball. If the Eagles aren't able to get that sort of push from the front four, would you be nervous blitzing with Jaden Daniels, or how do you?
Yeah, I think you always got to be nervous with a guy who's that athletic at the quarterback position. So sometimes you may give him a 5-man front look where you just put as many different color jerseys in front of his face, forcing to hold that ball a little bit. We already know we don't have a premier pass rusher. So we don't have the luxury of saying, you just go up against that guy and you beat that guy and go get the quarterback. So Vic Fangio is going to have to switch it up a little bit. Sometimes he'll bring Zach Bond or N'Kobe Dean with an extra rush. And then there's going to be times where you got to sit back and use a spy.
Yeah.
You know, make Jaden hold the ball, make him throw the ball, and play. Maybe you play a little zone behind it, but you got more eyes on him in case he does take off.
I have been impressed with the defense and with Fangio being able to scheme around the fact that they haven't been able to get that push. And a lot of credit, quite obviously, goes to the secondary and Quinyon Mitchell, how good he's been. Slay, Cooper G, even when Isaiah Rodgers has been in there, they've done a great job as well. And those two linebackers that we're talking about have been, you would think they would be more easy to exploit in coverage. And though they haven't been, N'Kobe Dean hasn't been perfect, I think he's been.
Well, no team has taken advantage of it.
Yeah, hasn't taken advantage of it.
Like, no team has tried to exploit it.
Like, right.
I mean, you tried, the Jags tried to, and they threw a pick to N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, right.
Right? I thought last week, I thought in that game against the Jags also, they tried to get a pass over Zach Bond's head to Evan Engram, and he did a good job in zone coverage and was able to break that pass up. So I'm not saying they are the best cover linebackers, but at least they aren't a liability.
And in
his, I mean, and real
yeah,
quick, real
yeah,
quick,
yeah, yeah.
Washington doesn't have running backs and tight ends that are that athletic that's going to really be able to exploit or expose our linebackers. I love Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz in the twilight of his career. Brian Robinson isn't the most elusive guy out of the backfield. And Austin Ekeler, while he still does have speed, but that's pretty much what he is. He's not a shifty guy.
Yeah, that is the thing that I'm surprised we haven't seen and that we've seen in previous years. It feels like every year for the last 20 years. And one of the reasons is that the Eagles don't really prioritize the linebacker thing is that the tight end going off against us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's been a tight end that goes off against us every other game for the last, you know, 15 years. And we haven't really seen that happen this year at all.
Gesicki a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, Gesicki caught some balls. Yeah, he did.
Yep.
And he had a big fumble late, though. And couldn't get in the end zone, but regardless.
Well, and, you know, thinking about Gesicki, a lot of his catches were, if I remember correctly, were outside the numbers too, and they were a lot of Joe Burrow running out of the pocket and finding him maybe out past whatever route they were running.
And that's the difficult part about having – now, Joe Burrow doesn't run as well as Jaden Daniels, but Joe Burrow's no slouch either as an athlete at the quarterback position. And that can give you a problem, and the quarterback is extending the play. You got to be disciplined in your coverage. If you're in man coverage, stay on your guy. And when this kid breaks the pocket, Jaden Daniels, man, I don't know how much man coverage I would play against this team.
Yeah, because to be able to keep up with them as he buys himself some time, he'll be in trouble.
And he'll take off.
Right.
So when you're in man coverage, your back is usually to the quarterback because you got to cover your guy. At least when you're in zone, you can get to an area, get squared around, and then now you can see the quarterback and what he's doing.
The Eagles passed their last test against a good offense against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
This will be debatably the biggest test that they've had. The Green Bay scored. You know, the defense was good early, but as I've said before, this just seems like a much different team now than the Green Bay on both sides of the ball. So it's hard to really think about that game as an example of anything. So I think this game is a real, real test for the defense. I'm excited to see it. You know, the Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts question, we get to ask a former NFL GM next. Well, Mike Lombardi on. Curious what his answer would be, who he'd rather have for the next 5 years, Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts. He will join us next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show, game day edition at the Link right here in Pepsi Plaza with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.